Well, it's Father's Day, so happy Father's Day. There, we got that out of the way. You know how I feel about these particular kinds of Sundays. And this Sunday is actually quite full. This is the Sunday set aside to remember the indigenous peoples all around the world, for which the Presbyterian Church has got, I think we can safely call it, a bit of a checkered past in some of our interactions with the First Nations of Canada, at least. But as I was thinking of these texts, and if there would have been something that I could authentically move into a sermon about fathers, I would have done it, I promise. But, well, I didn't. So instead, we're going to answer once again the rhetorical question, which one are you? Which, needless to say, comes from our Galatians reading. And this is a fascinating reading because one of the things it does is it highlights an essential part of human beings, and that human beings love to categorize things. Pattern recognition is one of the things that we do best. It gets us in all kinds of trouble because we depend on pattern recognition to such a tremendous extent that's what helps us, if you want to use that word, mistake people when we see them thinking they're someone else or missing somebody that we know well. What's very interesting about how people and how human beings interact with the world is the kinds of things that really make it make sense to us are the things we don't really notice. If you want to, for example, walk through a crowd of people who know you, but you don't want to talk to them, you've got a couple of options. You can just put your head down and run through, but that makes it pretty obvious. If it's a big enough crowd, the best way to do it is to change the way you walk. Because if you change the way you walk, people who see you out of the corner of your eye, out of the corner of their eye, won't recognize that you are you. It doesn't matter that you're wearing the clothes you usually wear or anything else. We pick up on movement and we put it into patterns that we're familiar with. And there's two ways to do this. Number one, wear shoes that are too small. And if you're tall, this is a really interesting one. Get someone to put a piece of tape that connects your shoulder, like pull your shoulders back. And then put a piece of tape across your shoulders and walk that way, and no one will recognize you until they see your face, because that's another pattern. But we have this innate desire to put things into groups because it helps us make sense of the world. If we had to look at every human being every time we went anywhere to see who was someone we knew and who wasn't, it would take forever. We wouldn't get anything done. If we go to people who are in a situation of danger back before we, when we were still sort of hunting, gathering, when we were still doing the kinds of things we read about in the Old Testament, we have this ability to pick up the difference out of the corner of our eye between a sheep and a bear, for example, as a shepherd, so we know when to get excited about things and when not. These are important things about us. This patterning, this categorizing is an important part of who we are. The problem is, as is so often the case, that we, if we're not careful, we'll allow something that's very useful for us, something innate and of value, and we'll then start putting it everywhere else in ways that are less helpful. And the desire to categorize, to figure out where things belong, which is incredibly helpful for us, can also be damaging when we start thinking that the categories we've come up with are equally innate and are equally of significance no matter what. One of the things that Paul does in this passage and in other places is that he's working really, really hard at helping people who have this authentic faith in God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to begin to realize that there are all kinds of barriers, there's all kinds of categories out there that, legitimate as they are in the correct place, really get in the way. The book of Galatians is, among other things, directed at a group of people who are trying to say that when it comes down to being a follower of God, you have to look in a particular way. You have to fit in this category. Some of them went so far as to say that if you want to be a Christian, as we call it now, you have to become a Jew first. And Paul says no. He says no quite dramatically here in some of his strongest language in various places. And he says no all over the place. And he makes it about as clear as you can possibly be when he says that all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Okay, that's all fine and dandy. And then says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, which pretty much gets all of the really big categories these people would have been dealing with. He could have put others in, rich or poor, well-educated, not well-educated. He could have put other things in there, but this little grouping of pairs covers pretty much everybody. From a Jewish perspective, you're either a Jew or you weren't. Greek in this case, or Gentile, depending on the translation, is just shorthand for not Jew. You're either a Jew or you're not a Jew. You're either a slave or you're free. You're either male or female. Our current flexibility with gender notwithstanding, that's just the way, you're one or the other. And Paul is saying, none of those matter. And not only do they not matter, that once we move into the kingdom, and we can even expand it to us at least somewhat, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but once you're in the kingdom, none of those things even exist anymore. He said, once you step into the relationship with God, you are in relationship with God, and that is all that matters. The rest of those things are not just irrelevant, they don't even exist there anymore. I think for Paul, the idea of calling yourself a slave Christian or a free Christian would have just been insane. He would have said, what are you talking about? That's like putting, you know, like that's like just having gobbledygook in front of the word Christian. It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with it. And this is something that we still need to deal with today. And we probably always will, because what we do is we look at our group of categories, and then we say, this is the one that I'm in, or the groups of categories, but obviously we're in more than one. And then we start bringing them into here, where perhaps they don't belong. I'm not saying that this church suffers from this kind of thing, but I've been in churches where you have categories, like you've been here for a long time and you haven't, and that draws a distinction between the two. You're in leadership, whatever that means, and you're not, that's a distinction between the two. And I think Paul is trying to help us realize that when it comes right down to it, we're all exactly the same. We are all people who need God. And until we get that settled, we'll never really get anything else that matters. Heather and I were talking about this in conjunction with the Sunday for Indigenous Peoples, and we were thinking of some of the things that happened in the church's past. And we look at what happened in residential schools, and we would like to not think about that because it was frequently terrible. But it happened, and we have to grapple with it in some ways. If nothing else, we have to figure out how did it happen. Heather's done some work with the school that's just outside of Regina. Mary Jessie's been doing more, but we're looking at having some kind of a place of memory, a memorial there that will help in the healing process. And when Heather and I were talking about this, we realized that the only way you can get to the point where you say that you need to become like us so you can then be with us is when you look at other people from a perspective of the other. And what Paul is saying is that before we're in a relationship with God, we are all exactly the same. Because we all need that relationship. Until that's dealt with, we are absolutely identical. And whether we see this in other places in Paul's writings, as a missionary, he went to people who needed that relationship, and he treated everybody exactly the same. That's one of the things that we notice in Paul's experience, is that whether you were a jailer or a fellow prisoner, whether you were rich or poor, whether you were a well-read Jewish scholar, a well-read Gentile, it didn't matter. Paul looked at everyone as being exactly the same, with the same need for this relationship with God. And then when that relationship is initiated, we're still exactly the same. Once we're on the inside, there's no difference either. And I think for Paul, he managed to actually do this, to actually achieve this ability to look at people as being equally valuable, as as having no difference in their essential nature. Difference in their situation, of course. I mean, he wasn't crazy. He could tell the difference between a man and a woman, between someone who spoke his language and someone who didn't. But in the things that really mattered, he said they were exactly the same. And so the rhetorical question, which one are you, is of course a trick question, as so many of these things are. Which one are you? You're all of them. We're all of them because they're just transient, unimportant labels. In the same way that when we're younger and we are called names, leaving aside the damage that name-calling can cause, you can call me all kinds of things, but it doesn't mean I am what you call me. The labels that we use to categorize each other are convenient and are helpful, and there's nothing wrong with them as long as we don't push them in directions they shouldn't go. And what Paul is saying, that no matter what those labels are, helpful or unhelpful, that we are exactly the same. That once we step into this relationship with God, we are adopted as children, and no matter how much of a challenge it sometimes is to love all your children exactly the same, good parents do. You don't treat them exactly the same because they're different ages, they have different interests, but the connection is the same, whether you have 2 or 100 children, whatever it might be. You do what you can to treat them the same, but you always love them the same. No matter what labels we might want to put on ourselves, and no matter what labels other people want to put on us, and frequently do, labels don't matter. The second we move into that relationship with God through Jesus, we are in that relationship. The Holy Spirit is no more in me than in you, or you than in me. You are no more adopted than I am. When you're adopted, you're adopted. A child is a child. You can't be more of a child of a parent. Once you're there, you're there. It's convenient for us to look at people in different groups. But it's terribly destructive. Or it can be terribly destructive if we start using these categories to assign value when that's not what they're for at all. What Paul is helping us realize is that we are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ, to clothe yourselves with Christ, there's no difference. We're all the same. When it comes to being on the inside, which one am I? Well, I'm all of them. Which one are you? Well, you're all of them too. Because all of them is just the one. Child. We've moved into this relationship with God. We are as much a child of God as Jesus is. And once you're a child, well, you're in. And we all are. Amen.